Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjublilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm very pleased to have with me today on University Matters on Campus FM, Dr. Adrian Greemer. Just a few words, as I usually do, about my guest. He's a senior lecturer in the Department of Maltese. He lectures in various aspects of Maltese literature, specializing in metaphor and the presence of the Mediterranean in Maltese literature. His books of poetry include prize-winning collections, and his poetry has been translated into 16 languages, including English, of course, and German, and published in international collections. He also writes poems and short stories for children. Dr. Greemer has read his poetry at many festivals, Bali, Berlin, Bosnia, Budapest, Slovenia, Edinburgh International Book Festival, you name it. He's the coordinator of InitiaMed, that organizes the Malta Mediterranean Literature Festival within LAF. And over the past year, he's read 4 papers in the UK and Australia about literary representations in the Mediterranean. These include a keynote at St. Anne's College, Oxford, in September. The final title of his presentation on that occasion was Nationalism of the Sun, Borders of the Imaginary, Imaginary Borders, about which I hope we shall be talking today. With Simon Gallia, he has just edited a volume on The Teacher, Literature and Mediterranean, published by Sense in Rotterdam. Welcome to the programme, Dr. Greemer.
Hi, Teresa.
Well, I think that the context, obviously, of today's talk is going to, chat really, is going to be literature and the Mediterranean. So perhaps we can start off with a general but important question. In the context of your presentation, perhaps at Oxford, what is your interpretation of the expression Mediterranean literature? You say it is a conceptual border. What exactly do you mean by that?
Okay, so I'm interested in what people say about the Mediterranean, what they write about the Mediterranean, rather than what sort of I personally or other people would think about the Mediterranean. Because I think it's all an issue of discourse, of narrative. And this narrative of the Mediterranean as a cultural entity, as some kind of cultural unity, is a quite recent phenomenon. In other words, we haven't, as human beings, we haven't always talked about the Mediterranean as a cultural phenomenon in itself, as some kind of cultural unity that goes from Lebanon or Palestine all the way to Spain and Morocco. This is a creation basically of the early 19th century, late 18th century, and it's very much tied to a movement in France, which was the movement of the Saint-Simonians, after the founder of this sort of group of intellectuals and scientists, which basically knows its birth in the expedition of Napoleon to Egypt, in the early 1800s, the Saint-Simonians or sort of the seeds of the Saint-Simonian movement were present when Napoleon took a scientific committee with him together with his less more belligerent army, and This element of investigation of Egypt and the East was actually a reflection of the interest of these French intellectuals in parts of the Mediterranean which they consider to be their ancestors, their original inspiration, but which they felt had in some way lost its original spirit, its original creative and intellectual energy. So the idea was sort of to return to the origins, let's say, of our European culture, but also to reform that those somehow decaying origins. So this is where discourse about the Mediterranean as a cultural entity, as some kind of unified cultural entity, starts. And this discourse about the Mediterranean and Mediterranean culture and Mediterranean identity then seeped into works like a series of articles written by Michel Chevalier called, which together were grouped under the title of Système de la Méditerranée, the system of the Mediterranean. And that word system is a really interesting system, because this is a pre-industrial Mediterranean in which Michel Chevalier and other intellectual stroke businessmen see the potential of creating a train network within the Mediterranean. There was nothing at the time. There was really very, very little, both in Southern Europe, in Europe in general, and in the northern part of Africa, North Africa. So the idea was to create a network of physical connections through the railway network that would bring together, let's say, the whole of the Mediterranean. And in this sense, it's not just some airy-fairy sort of intellectual or cultural Mediterranean, but it's a very well-connected system of commercial activity, apart from cultural investigation and intellectual investigation, which the Saint-Simonians discussed in their works, primarily in the work of Michel Chevalier, but there were many others who wrote about this this ideal, this almost utopia of the Mediterranean.
Because they had a respect for the Mediterranean as an ancestral home, in a way. They felt that the Mediterranean had an importance that needed to be rediscovered.
Exactly. They saw the origins of European culture in the Mediterranean, as we do today. But they also had, I mean, they had these great ideals, but they also had, in many ways, colonial, they had a colonial project. And discourse about Mediterranean identity and Mediterranean culture then becomes very important in almost a very explicit project of justification of colonial interests by France and eventually by Italy in the Mediterranean. In other words, they explained French and eventually Italian expansionist ideas in terms of reuniting a once united Mediterranean under sort of Latin culture, and sort of recreating the culture that flourished at the time of the Roman Empire. In the 1930s, Camus refutes this. He goes strongly against this idea, because he sees the origins of Mediterranean culture in Greece rather than in Rome, rather than in the belligerence of Rome, the aggressive attitude of Rome. He sees, of the Roman Empire, he sees the origins of the Mediterranean in the rich culture of ancient Greece.
Perhaps at this point we could pick up on one of the main books which you discuss in this presentation that you gave it in Oxford, from the book Malika Mokadem in Zit. There's a character in there called Nora, mm-hmm. who is somebody who had an Irish father and an Algerian mother. So there is this mixture of the North and the South, and I sort of felt I identified a bit, because I have a Northern father who was sort of blown into the Mediterranean by the winds of war. So I was interested to see who Nora was, because obviously she's looking for some sort of identity. Tell us about Nora.
Yes, she looks for that identity within the Mediterranean. So she becomes, as the blurb on Malika Mukaddem's book in Zid, her novel in Zid, which is written in French. It was originally written in French by this French writer of Algerian origin, Malika Mukaddem. She is a kind of modern day Odysseus, but the differences between this modern day Odysseus, this female Odysseus, feminine Odysseus, Nora, and the original Odysseus, these differences are very interesting, and they are what Malika Bokedan plays on in order to explore, rather than state, to explore the Mediterranean of today. The Mediterranean, this sort of this microcosm of conflicts, of interaction, of death, of life, of joie de vivre, of injustice, of environmental degradation, and all of that. Malika Mokedam explores some of these themes through the figure of Nora. But before I go on, I think I need to make a premise. So a first border that I created was, conceptually, was that, and I started off with this when I spoke at the University of Oxford, but also at other conferences in Essex, at La Trobe in Australia, and also at Kent for the Mediterranean Fractures Symposium, which was organized by Dr. Norbert Bujeya and Abdulrazak Gurna and others. So my first frame was, I will talk about the Mediterranean as it is explicitly described by different writers. Second, I will talk about the Mediterranean in those novels that explicitly talk about the Mediterranean as a region, as one unified region, as a cultural region. And this is what Malika Mokedam does. And this is the space within Nora, this unhappy, unsettled, and unsettling compromise between North and South, between Ireland and Algeria. This is the space within which Nora travels. And this is a very unsettling space. Nora's peregrinations, her odyssey, starts in a very violent way. It is almost provoked by a loss of memory, a violent loss of memory, because of an aggression that she and another person are subjected to before the novel starts. But we piece this together very slowly because it's also, in a way, a slow unraveling of the events that bring about what we're reading about in the novel itself. So, in many ways, it's a quiet but very unsettling exploration of the themes of conflict, of love, the relationship between the sea and the desert, which is, of course, a big theme for Algerian writers of Algerian origin, North African origin in general, but especially of Algerian origin. This is a theme which has been explored also by Brodel, of course, but not only of the Sahara Desert as a sort of companion to the Mediterranean Sea, but in a way also as a mirror of the Mediterranean Sea, sort of. You have a Mediterranean Sea of water and a Mediterranean Sea of sand, sort of, in many ways. And I'm not saying this because I believe this, but because this is what Malika Mokedam's novel, and especially one of her characters, expresses and discusses within the novel. So the Mediterranean is represented in this novel, and in other novels, of course, very much in the context of this... you know, very heavy baggage, cultural baggage, intellectual baggage, historical baggage, which comes with the name, with the concept, with the idea, with the dream, with the devenir, the French would say, you know, this idea, this project of the Mediterranean. Every time you mention the Mediterranean, all of this comes with it. And this is what Malika Mokedam explores. At one point, one of her characters says, talks about the Mediterranean as a deus cabreuse, and a rebellious goddess, goddess that, despite all the conflicts, despite all the terrorisms, despite all the injustices, the environmental degradation that it faces, it manages to defeat these merchants of hate, these merchants of sectarianism that so often on different shores of the Mediterranean have plagued this microcosm, I would say, of the world. So we have this habit of talking about the Mediterranean in terms of conflict and environmental degradation, but this is very much sort of a mirror of what's happening on the more global scale, on a more global scale. So talking about the Mediterranean in many ways is talking about the world.
Looking at the Mediterranean in a sense, one of the, I think it's Camus again, talks about the humanism of the Mediterranean.
Yes.
And that's the brilliance that's come through its history, the maths that's come out of it, the science that's come out of it, the Greek culture, of course, and the beauty that came also out of Rome. You've got this bad press that the present situation has created, but you've got behind it, there's this history of this humanism. And Camus mentions the northerner as being this somebody who comes into this what could be a wonderful cultural paradise. And I think one always has to remember that within the Mediterranean, there's never been that Puritanism that perhaps darkened, in a metaphorical sense, the northern part of Europe. That the Mediterranean has this warmth that isn't just in the sun, mm-hmm. It's really in its feelings, in its history.
Well, this is definitely a Camus position, and this is always my position. I always talk about what people say about the Mediterranean, what they have written about the Mediterranean, rather than trying to argue that there is in me some kind of exploration of a definite interpretation or a definition of the Mediterranean. Let me say that again. What I mean is, I don't think we should be bothering ourselves with defining the Mediterranean. I'm personally interested in how people have defined it, but I'm not interested in finding some kind of cultural essence, some kind of identity essence of the Mediterranean, because I don't think it exists. I'm interested in how people experience it, how they perceive it. And I'm very interested in how Camus has talked about the Mediterranean, precisely the things you were mentioning. When I was working on my paper, originally my paper was at Oxford was meant to be, the conference was about minding borders, and I was asked to speak about Mediterranean literature. So the title was Mediterranean Literatures and the Borders of Language and Meaning. But then eventually I kept going back to Camus and his idea of nationalism of the sun, because the term nationalism in many quarters, and certainly in my quarter, is a very problematic concept, because I think nationalism has been used in very negative ways, and it continues to be used today in very negative ways, to exclude, to be xenophobic, often to be even racist. But Camus talks about a different kind of nationalism. He's undermining this idea of nationalism and going to the kind of feelings, to the kind of openness, to the kind of welcoming attitude and joie de vivre and openness that you were talking about when you referred to how Camus contrasts the openness of the Mediterranean to the uptight attitude, the rigidity of the north, of the colder north. Of course, I think he's being stereotypical, no? But it's interesting to me because he sees in the Mediterranean a kind of fraternité, a kind of complicity among people, which he would see as the very essence of living the Mediterranean. Now, whether this is true or not, I think is quite frankly impossible to answer, because there are so many realities, so many different realities within the Mediterranean. I mean, Brodel talked about how the this chain, these chains of mountains somehow separated the land masses on all sides of the Mediterranean, separating the coast from what was happening further inland. Sort of. In other words, Braudel saw these shores of the Mediterranean as being even physically brought together by a kind of surrounding series of chains of mountains. But in reality, we know that even the climate of them, even the climate, this idea that there's one climate in the Mediterranean, is in fact untrue. I mean, there are actually climates within the Mediterranean. There are so many different cultures. There's such a variety of cultures, of attitudes, of religions, and all of that. So this idea that within the Mediterranean there's a special kind of openness, a special kind of feeling, of welcoming feeling, of people enjoying the sun, but also enjoying the presence of each other, so creating community amongst each other, is, I think, more than an empirical, something that can be empirically tested. I think it's a great ideal. And it's ideal that we should all, I think, be fostering. In this sense, the French talk a lot about Mediterranean culture or Mediterranean identity as a devenir, something that is in the process of becoming, rather than something that has already been achieved. It's a work in progress. It's a project, and I find that idea very not frustrating. Quite the contrary, I think it's very dynamic, very democratic, and also it involves people because they are part of something which is happening, which continues to be happening in a way.
One of the themes that crops up quite a bit in your presentation is that of the nomad. Mm. I mean, going from the Phoenicians that left the safety of Tyre and Byblos and ventured as far as Cadiz, or the traders for whom the Mediterranean really was their home for most of the year, if not many years at a time. That idea of free movement is part, perhaps, of that ideal that you were mentioning, but very topical at the moment. Nora at one point says, you know, I think it's Nora, says, I don't want to stop in Sardinia. I want to get onto the sea again, because it's only on the sea that I can really find my freedom.
Exactly. There's this feeling throughout the novel by Malika Mokaddem. This novel called Inzit, and the word Inzit means, at least the most important meaning of Inzit, coming from Arabic, as explained within the novel itself, is I continue, but also I am born. I am born, but I continue. So this idea of an identity in progress, of a culture in progress. There's this strong feeling within the novel that Nora is very much at home on the sea. That's where she really finds her home. Whilst we would normally interpret home as something that is on land, that is something very physical, something very sedentary. But in the case of Nora, it's on the sea that she feels at home, and in movement. It's precisely in movement. And there's also this feeling which is transmitted throughout the novel, that she moves from one port to the other, from one island to the other, from one territorial water to the other, seamlessly. There are no borders. And that's why, of course, I found it particularly interesting to talk about this novel in our conference, about minding borders. Borders of the mind, but also creating borders, but also putting up fences and creating borders between people, when we should be living in a world where borders should be there to help us rather than to keep us in so many ways to keep us apart. So there's very much this sensation that in the novel that really comes across, I think, very forcefully, that this is one space, that this is one seamless space. And you get a similar feeling in a quite unusual novel written in Maltese by Giuseppe Bonici and published posthumously, because he died, this young doctor died at a very young age, such a great loss. for Maltese literature, for Maltese culture, for Maltese medicine. This novel called Leine Shemsh, Towards the Sun, and of course the connection here with nationalism of the sun, to me is very interesting. Camus' patrie, this patrie that he's talking about, this patrie of the sun, this motherland of the sun. In José Bonici's novel, Towards the Sun, unlike the other romantic, historical romantic novels of the period, of the pre-war period, in José Bonici, the real motherland, the real patria, is the Mediterranean Sea. And Domenico Calea, who's the captain of this ship, of this corsairing ship, actually, finds himself very much at home on the sea and on his Nostra Signora, on his ship, on his galley. His surname suggests that he's Maltese, but he doesn't seem to have any home on Malta. He seems to be very uncomfortable, even literally walking on the rocks of Bergo to look for this tavern that somebody has asked him to visit. So, unlike other historical novels written in the period in Malta, where Malta is the final destination, it's sort of the promised land. In this case, the sea is the promised land, and the Mediterranean Sea in particular, because Domenico Calea is very proud to have these maps of the Mediterranean, which are in so many ways sort of the maps of his life. So he has his life is mapped all over there on these seas, on these sea routes, which are very much where he wants to be and where he feels comfortable, together with his sailors. They create this almost utopic community, this ideal community. They're never given a nationality, but from their surnames we know that one is of Arab origin, the other one is Greek, the other one is probably Spanish. But there is no insistence on the ethnic identity of these people, because they all seem to be part of one unified, I would add, Mediterranean community.
And with that, I'm afraid our time has come to an end already. I'd like to thank Dr. Adrian Greemer coming on University Matters to talk to us about the idea, the concept of the Mediterranean in literature. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.